What's up, everybody? This is Rome. We got Aaron, Jason. This is Sources from the Sofa. We're going to recap week 5 in the NFL. Pretty fun week. We have a hell of a Monday night game. It was a lot better than what I thought it'd be. And I was cheering a lot, mainly because me and you, Aaron, I thought, you know, it was a lot more on the line, but we both had the Jags at the points. Jason took KC to cover. It was pretty exhilarating. We had like a lot of games come down to the wire this past week. And other than that, though, like some weird stuff, we'll kind of recap everything. But first, what'd you guys think of this Monday night game, all things considered?
Yeah, it was a kind of a back and forth, but back and forth in extremes. You had KC with a 14-0 lead to start off the game. The Jags turning the ball over at the 1 yard line. And then Jags come storming back, tie the game. Mahomes driving, throws an interception at the 1 line himself, taking back for a pick.
That was crazy. That was nice, dude. That guy backed off. Yeah. And then, yeah, just read it. It was nice.
Yeah, it was a great play. And then, Chiefs do nothing with it, punt it, give it back to the Jags. Trevor Lawrence throws an interception, although probably one of the worst calls of the game. I think that's the moment where Rome probably jumps up and starts talking about the officiating bias with Kansas City. It's maybe when Roger Goodell, you know, made the call down to the field that we needed this game to be a little more competitive. So Kansas City gets a gift interception of some pass interference that wasn't called. Seems like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were agreeing with that assessment with the rules official too on the Monday night broadcast. But gave Kansas City an easy tying touchdown, and you know, then it was 21-21, and you know, I think it was a ball game. So I think a really good Monday night game. I think this Jaguars team surprising a lot of people. I know maybe not Aaron. Aaron, big Liam Cohen guy at the beginning of the season. Knew we'd see him improving in the Jags over the Doug Peterson-led team of the past couple years. But, yeah, it came down to the wire there at the end. I thought for a second I had you guys. I was like, Kansas City's going to march down. But then, you know, I was like, in the modern NFL, you can't score too soon. And you leave them, you know, over a minute left with a couple timeouts. You're leaving all the time in the world. And Trevor Lawrence, two huge throws. I mean, those were just massive throws. One to Brian Thomas Jr. Really haven't seen as much him in his sophomore season. But huge catch down the sideline. And the Denami Brown, you know, great out route. Getting it down within the 10-yard line. So I think Trevor Lawrence came up big because at the first two plays, I don't think we're looking very good. I think it was going to be over pretty quick. But, yeah, everything comes down to a last drive with less than a minute left, it seems, in the NFL.
Trevor Lawrence led in rushing. So 3 touchdowns total, 1 passing, 2 rushing, 54 yards. Kind of weird every time a quarterback is leading the team in rushing. But then you see KC, Pat Mahomes, every game, I think, this year so far, except for the last one maybe, he's also led the teams in rushing. Not a good sign. Now they're sitting at, 2-3? I was starting to get scared because Chargers, they started really fast out of the gate. They have a big lead. And if KC would have won, you'd have had 3 teams, 3-2. That would have been like really crazy for the AFC West. Jacks, now 4-1, looking pretty. Aaron, how are you liking your little Cohen-led team?
As Jason mentioned, man, loving it, man. My guy, Liam Cohen, man, getting it done there. You know, he's doing big things with Tampa and Baker. Now he comes over to Trevor Lawrence, who Rome basically called a bottom feeder in the NFL. I said he's, you know, one of the top 15 quarterbacks. You get him a decent coach, and you're seeing the results. I mean, this defense stepped up, made some plays when they needed to down there on the goal line, getting that interception, 99-yard return there by Lloyd. That was a big, turning point.
I was excited, yeah.
But you had a lot going on. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, you know, fumbling on the goal line, depending on your perspective. I thought it was a touchdown based off the camera angles I had. It was a 4th and goal, so you got to go for it regardless if you get in or not. It's a turnover on downs. If not, Kansas City officiating. Jason mentioned the PI and the PI should have been called on the interception. They also had the PI in the opening drive touchdown that should have been called when they ran a pick play to get Kelce open. So obviously the officials, like Jason mentioned, Goodell made the call and wanted to get these guys back above 500. But hey, Duval County, they weren't having it tonight.
And
the Jags take care of the KC Chiefs here on Monday night, 31-28 in a brilliant game. It was a really good game.
All right, like I wasn't even going to watch it, but I was watching mainly baseball tonight, which the playoffs have been phenomenal for Major League. Maybe we'll talk about that later on. But I was watching mainly because I thought me and you, Jason, we had the same record tied. And I was like, okay, if KC wins, you got the best record of the, you know, or the best week rather of the year so far. If I win, I do. And then I actually had a game missing from Aaron. So I actually had him a lot worse. First time we've all been above 500. So it's overall, although the games are pretty weird and we've had different sides on each one, pretty good week, I guess, for different reasons.
Yeah, it was, I think when we were picking the games, it just felt a little different where we were going with some sides, some big lines. But I, you know, those morning games, it was blowout city for like, what, four of those games or something like that. And then just total, I think, chaos. You know, the Tennessee game, we were all on Tennessee, and there was,
we all took Tennessee, huh?
We all took Tennessee.
I thought somebody would have taken Arizona, but
I mean, we all took Tennessee.
There were some games when we had a consensus. Like I thought the Chargers broke that streak, but we were consensus Vikings won that. We were consensus Denver won that. We were consensus Tennessee and won that. So really, we were 3 out of 4 in consensus, because the Chargers were the only one that kind of let us down. So going into that Chargers game, I was like, man, if we agree on it, that should be the lock for everyone at home. Is like, hey, when we're consensus across the board, that's who you bet.
You guys talked to me in that Chargers one because I like Daniels, and I was thinking, like, I don't know, man. Like, I know he hasn't been playing. I know they got injuries, but Daniels, like, you got to figure, like, this might be like a trap game. But there he had one against the Giants, right? So you got to figure with like Harbaugh, they're not going to have back-to-back. But, dude, they did not show up on that one at all. Daniels played great.
It's a weird game. The Chargers showed up big time, really. They were up 10-0, about to go up, what, 17-0. Then you got Q of that fumble. Then two guys on the Chargers offensive line went out, and it just tumbled downhill.
Went
from
down.
There. They just got punished from basically mid second quarter on. You had that roughing the punter that negated the Ladd McConkey punt return touchdown. So just huge momentum shifts in that game, and the Chargers just banged up as they weren't able to regroup. And Daniels and the Commanders got hot.
You know, it was one that was pretty crazy with Saints Giants. I thought Giants dominated that whole game, but turnovers, costly turnovers, completely killed them. They should have won by a touchdown, if not more, and that totally like defeated it. But Saints did everything and beyond to get their first victory of the year. That was pretty impressive.
That was the game we talked about. If the Saints are going to win a game this year, this is where it came to. And I, you know, didn't see the same thing out of Jackson Dart in this start. I don't think you got it. You know, he had two interceptions in the game. The running game, you know, again, you talked about quarterbacks running. You had Scadaboo had 15 attempts for only 59 yards, but Jackson Dart also had 55 yards himself. So a lot going on there. It was a weird game because you felt like, to your point, Rome, you felt like this was a game that the Giants should have had early. But they came out second half and it was like nothing offensively that they can do. And I don't know. I think we talked a little bit, like, New Orleans, a little weird place to play sometimes. Just like, you know, even watching on TV, lighting looks a little weird. You know, fans are rowdy down there in New Orleans. And
it feels a little dark, man. It feels like Halloween all the time down there, don't it?
It does. Something's different about the broadcast when you watch a Saints game. And so, but yeah, it's still shocking to me, I think, just looking at how bad the Giants were versus the Saints team, that they beat the Chargers the week prior. I think that's the game. I get the West to East Coast stuff, but man, it's just, this Giants team just looks so bad.
I didn't think they looked that bad. It was those turnovers that really put that whole script on.
That's the key of looking bad. You turn the ball over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, there was what, 19-14. They were getting ready to score. Scadaboo fumbles. It gets returned, what, 80 yards for a touchdown. That was like,
that was crazy.
That was a turning point in the game.
Yeah.
But I mean, going in, we said that the Saints were likely, if they're going to get a win here. Giants, perfect spot. Emotional win without their best player neighbors going into a place like New Orleans, who's been competitive at least at home. It was definitely the right spot to take the Saints there.
Let's start from the beginning. I guess we started like on Thursday, 49ers pulled out the win when we were recording the lines that night, which this week, man, totally ruined my power rankings. Like, I don't know what to do. I have so much movement going on in there. Vikings, impressive coming back from behind. I thought they were going to lose that. We barely made it out with that one, guys. So happy. I was cheering. I don't know. Did you guys wake up for the F1 race as well?
100%, man. You had a 5 a.m. start time with Singapore Grand Prix.
Pretty quiet.
right? And well, you know, I just didn't want to, you know, didn't want to wake you up.
4:45 a.m. wake up, Roman. We already know you're not up, so we're not going to bug you. We'll let you watch the highlights.
I'll rewatch the whole thing.
Okay.
All right. So, most impressive, or what were the closest games? I guess
the first one you mentioned just right now: Vikings Browns,
Vikings Browns, Dolphins Panthers,
Broncos Eagles.
Broncos Eagles.
There was a lot of close games in the app. Well,
I feel like the Eagles. I don't know what happened, man. They kind of went away from like their running game. They started passing more like Brown or their tight end. They had. Both had like what, like A+ targets total. And then the Broncos just kind of snuck around like, and just won. It was a pretty impressive win on that one, but we did have the winning, or at least we had the points. So, did you like that win, Aaron?
I did say the Broncos would win that game outright, Rome.
You did, yeah.
So they would end that, Hurts, win streak. So,
yeah.
Give one up for my boy Nix and, Peyton getting the job done. AFC West champs coming. Denver Broncos, man.
AFC West champs. Now you're back on?
I told you I had them winning the preseason. I might as well jump on while they're hot right now.
All right. Okay. So Chargers, like you're not liking like the back-to-back losses, Commanders.
When you're about, what, three of your top five offensive linemen, tough, man. I mean, Herbert's been pressured the most of any quarterback here in the last 3 weeks. I mean, we talked about it. Jason mentioned, you know, CJ Stroud, you know, struggling. Well, when you're getting pressured on 45-50% of all your drop back passes, you're going to struggle in this league. And we've seen it before with Mahomes. People ask sometimes when he's struggling, well, you got banged up offensive linemen and no weapons. Trouble's coming, man. So we'll see. Chargers got a big game traveling back to the East, going to Miami. And then my boy Steichen comes in for a matchup there of the Colts. So Chargers got some big matchups coming up here before, you know, then before maybe they get healthy again on the offensive line.
Well, it's so crazy, man.
Hampton
on the IR too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just put on one today. It's so crazy, man. They were talk of the town 3-0 all in the division, having a big lead. And then can they drop one in New York? Then they drop another one at home. And now it's like, dude, this division's pretty tight. It's going to be a battle throughout the whole year. Out of the morning games, I think the most impressive win for me was the Colts. They just dominated every facet. Taylor, the running back, has got to be leading like MVP conversations. And Colts, to me, at least, they're winning the close games, and they're also beating the shit out of the teams that they should be beating the shit out of. It's basically like the recipe for, I'm going to say this, a possible Super Bowl contender. I really like them, man. I really like them, and I think they're like going to be vying for a top three seed in the AFC now. I know it's just the lowly Raiders, Geno Smith looking terrible. We've been kind of dogging them all year long. Ashton Jeanty, they kind of got him going a little bit, rushing him and catching, but not much else. They look pretty bad. Geno Smith, I think he has like, what, 9 interceptions down the first 5 games? It's just bad.
Yeah, there's something definitely with Geno. I kind of, last week against the Bears, I thought it was maybe a one-off, but you mentioned at 9 interceptions, only 5 games into the season, everything just kind of looks lost there. The amount of balls batted down at the line of scrimmage too isn't boding well. I don't know if whatever it is in the offense, this should be an offense that's clicking for him, being under Pete Carroll for all those years he was under Seattle.
But they got Kelly too, Chip Kelly.
Yeah. And what's going on? Just doesn't seem to be working. I think overall, like, you know, they have some talent with Jeanty, and, you know, but wide receiver wise, not exactly like the best wide receiving core out there. Offensive line, average to below average for the Raiders. You know, they got some good pieces on defense, but I think there's still a lot there. But I think you're right. I think for the Colts to blow them out the way they did, they're really making a mark in the AFC in a division that's generally pretty winnable. But now, you know, you got some teams with some good records there now. You got the Jags winning tonight. They're also 4-1 with the Colts. I think the Texans, you know, 2-3, but they had a huge win, and maybe they're finding something. I still think there's some questions on their offensive line.
Good win.
Talked about Stroud. Yeah.
I thought that was a good needed win.
A huge, huge need to win. So, but yeah, I think you're right. It continues to be impressive with the Colts overall. And Aaron's guy, Steichen, man, he's got something going there. And it just, for them to blow out the Raiders that they did, and the amount of points they've put up so far this year, I think has just been impressive. And I think,
are they number one or number two as far as scoring behind Dallas, or are they ahead of Dallas?
Dallas, they're ahead of Dallas. The Lions actually are the highest scoring team.
Lions, okay.
174. But, I mean, a combination with the Colts, it's like offense, you know, for how much they're scoring, but defensively, is, you know, they put the clamp down on theirs. I mean, they have the highest differential, if you're looking at in the league, you know, at a plus 74, you know, so, a, you know, a couple blowouts help here and there. But, you know, winnable games and winnable schedule and a winnable division generally. And the Daniel Jones thing, and I want to bring this to the Giants. Daniel Jones' success, I think, continues to be an indictment on the New York Giants team, because, you know, you look at the two pieces they've gotten rid of in years, where you get rid of Saquon, wins a Super Bowl, top, you know, one of the top rushers in the league. You get rid of Daniel Jones, now he's leading this team, you know, offensively. You know, you start looking back in an organization at that point, and I think that's the bigger loser out of the success of the Colts right now is going to be the entire Giants, you know, football operations leadership.
Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, Rome, I mean, the Colts, they're looking good, right? I mean, they've come out here 4-1, you guys mentioned, but here's the thing. The bad teams, they're blowing them out. They blew out Miami, blew out Tennessee, and they just blew out the Raiders. The good teams, they played them all well, right? I mean, Broncos came down on the wire, came down to that field goal. Stupid penalty by Denver cost them the game. The Rams, they had the Rams beat. You get that fumble there on the wide receiver by Mitchell where it slips out at the goal line. Who knows what happens there, right? Maybe they win that game. Maybe they're 5-0, 4-1, whatever. I think 4-1 is indicative of where they're at. I mean, Jacksonville's playing really good. Houston, you guys mentioned, got back-to-back wins.
I think I'm more impressed with Jacksonville right now being 4-1.
It's hard to say because Jacksonville's been here. I mean, what, 2 years ago they were in the playoffs in the divisional round when they got beat by the Chiefs. I mean, we've seen talent there with Trevor Lawrence. He needed that next coach. I think Liam Cohen's that guy. Like, Steichen's been there. You give him a quarterback. We saw what he did with Herbert his rookie year. He turned Jalen Hurst into an MVP. Then he just, you know, Richardson's just a lost cause. I mean, that guy couldn't hit a, you know, burning building if it was on fire from 10 feet away. He just can't throw over the dam. And now you give him Daniel Jones, who's, you know, good arm, accurate, but smart, but mobile. And he's running the offense really well. But yeah, Jason mentioned that defense is getting stops. They're forcing turnovers. They're playing aggressive. I mean, that was a good hire in the offseason, bringing in Lou Anarumo. So they are right now, I think, the team in the AFC that, you know, you got to keep an eye on, because they're blowing people out. They're probably at least top two or three teams in the AFC for sure right now.
Who is?
The Colts.
The Colts. Wow.
I would say I'd put them at number two, to be honest with you. I think the Bills are still the class of the AFC, you know, with withstanding the Sunday loss, but
tough loss.
But I think overall, the Bills' success is going to be judged on what they do in January, not what they do right now. You know, now, do I think they probably need to win throughout the year to get home field advantage? I think that's the fairy tale story I think they want to do. They want to close, you know, that stadium on a win, AFC championship game in the, you know, middle of January in the cold. But the Colts overall, I think, second best team behind them. There's probably an argument to be made that they're the best, but given where the Chargers have fallen off the past couple of weeks, the slow start to the Broncos, I think the Jags, to your point, Rome, are impressive. I think the Niners win was pretty good, but I think they've been a little fortunate. If you look at the Jags schedule a little bit, you know, throughout the year of, you know, who they've played so far, you know, Bengals, that first game that had like the goofy weather delay and everything like that. They lose to the Bengals, even though Joe Burrow went out, you know, partly through that game, but still lost. They beat a Texans team, you know, not a great offensive line. And then they get a Niners team, pretty hurt. I think this Chiefs win is probably their biggest win of the year right now. I think this is their statement. They'll have another tough game next week against the Seahawks. But I think the Jags definitely in the conversation, because we talked preseason on, hey, AFC North, getting three teams in. Well, that's gone. That ship has sailed. They ain't getting three teams in. And now, you know, Chargers, Broncos, Chiefs could be interesting. I mean, you could get a pretty equal distribution between the divisions of just like one or two teams from the divisions not getting in with how bad Baltimore's been. Cincinnati hasn't looked great. There's definitely some, there's going to be a lot going for those fifth, sixth, and seventh seeds.
Yeah. Jags being 4-1, that's definitely going to be fun to watch and then see how far the Texans can come along to back to back wins. Jags, two really big wins against the Niners and now against KC. Steelers, this looks good for them. They had a bye, right? So nothing going on there. Chargers, Broncos, I think that might end up being like a two man horse race. And then Bills, I still think they're the class of the AFC, but honestly, like, they haven't really played a great game besides that first game come from behind victory over the Ravens, but now that's not looking so great. Pats, all around really good game, really good play calling. And Vrabel, man, that was like kind of like a signature, like a nice early of the season signature win. A lot of people are talking about that now. Drake May came in clutch in the fourth quarter. And that might be like for my running in like game of the week, maybe big victory of the week.
Yeah, it's a huge win, Rome. I mean, you mentioned, I mean, Buffalo really missed a golden opportunity to really put a stranglehold on that.
Yeah.
Division. I mean, they win that game. They go up three games in the division. You got the Jets 0-5, Dolphins 1-4. The Patriots would have been 2-3. They would have been 5-0, basically on cruise control. But Patriots went in there. Drake May, great game. Stephon Diggs showed up. He balled out. He was ready, motivated for
great,
that
man.
Game.
He killed it.
What do you have? I think 146 yards receiving, 108 in the second half.
Yeah.
But to your point, Rome, I mean, how good is Buffalo? All their wins are against 0-5 Jets, 1-4 Dolphins, 1-4 Ravens, so, and the 1-4 Saints.
Yeah, it's not really impressive.
This defense
right now
is not good. That's why I don't really think they can get to the Super Bowl and win it. I mean, to Jason's point, if they get a home game, they're going to be tough to beat. Josh Allen is great. He's, you know, he's the MVP for a reason. But this defense can't stop really anybody in really big moments. The secondary's not great. We talk about the Colts and Jags and Buffalo. Those are the three teams right now that are 4-1 in the AFC. I think for Buffalo, if they're going to get to the Super Bowl, to Jason's point, they have to have home field. I don't think this defense is good enough to go on the road without the benefit of the crowd and beat a team like a Denver, maybe the Colts, in that AFC championship game, if that's how it shapes out the way these first 5 weeks have gone.
You know what's so weird? It's like all the top teams, right? It's just like in college football, right? This past week, what, three or four out of the top five teams in the preseason are now not even ranked. Same thing in the NFL. They're not like out of it. It's just they haven't had like any impressive wins. Eagles have been scraping by. Bills have been scraping by. Ravens now, possibly season of hell. Chargers now going through the adversity. No one's like really dominating. The only one that's like looking like pretty dominant so far after week one has been the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I you could say that. It's tough to say. I mean, they've played a hurt Bengals team, a Browns team, a beat up Ravens team. You know, so I think you could say that about any team if you're going through the resume. You know, no one was saying about Baltimore in week one versus the Bills, and Baltimore is just wrecked on defense for injuries and stuff like that. So I think it changes the NFL and like college. Like, these teams are a lot closer than we all kind of want to think on here. Like, college, there's massive discrepancies in talent week to week, where the NFL, like, even your worst team, you know, can show up on a Sunday and the talent levels kind of there. So
it happened in college too, man. Look at my UCLA Bruins, baby.
It's fair, but I mean, they beat a coach who can't beat anybody. So, you know, but we can get to that a little later.
He can't beat top five teams.
I mean, talking to you, well, UCLA's talent is not as bad as the 0-4 record is. Should be.
And so, you only want to talk about UCLA because you don't want to talk about Texas, but we'll get to that a little.
We'll talk about that.
Did you see that text message thread where he abandoned Texas?
Jason? I thought we were banned from the podcast if we mentioned Texas. Yeah. Wasn't that kind of thing? Yeah, are we banned so now? Pissed. Are you shutting the pod down now because we're talking about it? But, you know, we can get that to a little later.
I will bookmark this. How like you don't want to give the Lions enough credit. I totally get it. It's okay.
No, it's fine. They've been impressive, but to say out of the four and one teams, I think there's some week to week variables in the NFL that have just started. They've been great. They have looked really good against a couple of opponents. I think some teams are gonna have surprises. The Chiefs, for that matter, even though they lost tonight, the division coming back to them. We were talking about the Chargers running away with this thing at a certain point, and the Chiefs not having a win. 2-3, you know, they're still just a game out. I think there's a lot of different tests the teams are going to have in the month of October. They're going to have a lot of proving ground. You mentioned the Bills.
Well, I think they get some guys coming back, right? Like after week 8.
Yeah, you'll have that.
Rice comes back after week 7.
After week 6.
Don't they have a bye after that?
He's back for the 7th game, so.
Well, there'll be some tests for all these teams. You know, Buffalo schedule tightens up, you know, a little bit. The Jags got some games that'll happen. You know, some of these teams may get some, you know, people back. And you know, some fortunes flipped here in the second half, but I think there's some good snap judgments to make. But I think there's some prizes, you know, Baltimore being probably the most obvious because this team was supposed to be competing for a Super Bowl and they have been just dreadful, but they're just wrecked with injuries. I think I forgot they got like $130 million of their cap that was
They got seven Pro Bowlers out,
yeah. So you're talking about getting blown out, like that's the, you know. Hey,
when the Texans can drop 44 on you, you know you got trouble. Let's just put it that way.
Dude, they haven't scored at all this year, right?
No. I don't think they've scored 20 points or more in a game before last week against the Titans.
So we had some pretty bad losses this week, guys. I'm looking at the Titans and Cardinals.
I was waiting to talk about it because I don't know what – you got these awards and nominees or something. I don't want you to make something up. I mean, this is – I mean – not to be like prisoner of the moment. This is like a top 5 worst loss of all time. Top 3 maybe. I don't know. It might be the worst loss of all time. It ranks up there for the Cardinals on the Monday night game against the Bears. And I don't want to bring the Bears into every conversation, but it's the famous Dennis Green game.
I got to say this one's worse. This one's got to be worse. I mean, the stuff that happened here is something you'd see at a circus.
Oh, I was cheering because like I'm like, did he drop the ball before he crossed the goal line? Because that would have totally killed our chance of even hitting the spread 7. Like, it would have been over with.
It was dead. It was dead.
And that kind of changed everything.
Everything.
That did change everything.
It's the most mind-boggling thing in sports and football.
How does it keep on happening?
How many times this has happened over the last, like, you know, I don't know, was it the 90s? So like Leon Lett or something, you know, did that.
But he got the ball hit out of his hand, right?
Yeah, out of his hand.
No,
Leon Lett did. Not the guy yesterday. The other guys just drop it.
Yeah. Emery DiMercato. I mean, the guy was going for it. If he was like, you know, a half yard forward, he would have gotten it. But yeah, he just dropped it. It happened back to back weeks. I know Gannon, the head coach, apologized today to him apparently because he ripped him. But I don't think he should have apologized. Like I don't want your forgiveness on that.
Oh, dude, I saw the video. He was in his face.
Yeah, he should have been. I mean, that's just, you know, that's beyond a mistake. You know, it's not just like, oh, you missed a blocking assignment or you ran the wrong route. Like that's an entire lack of concentration and like getting, you know, getting ahead of yourself in the moment, whatever it is. Like, the goal needs to be getting to the goal line. The way these guys, like, just, I mean, at least secure the, you're running out of gas, secure the ball there. At least you know you're going to get tackled. Like, they just think, like, oh, it's over. And these split second decisions. I mean, that was just the beginning point. The interception fumble, like, whatever the hell that was one of the most insane plays I've ever seen, too. That's just like, game should have been over at that point, and then all of a sudden it winds up as a touchdown. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's wild. I mean, to your guys' point, I mean, I would have ripped them. If Arizona didn't have so many injuries in the running back room, I would have cut the dude that night. I would have just said, dude, pack your bags, get the fuck out of here.
You had a pretty good day besides that.
Because when they go back and look at it, I don't know. I think it's Jonathan Gannon's 3rd year there. I don't know how much longer he's going to be here, but this is why coaches get fired. Because they'd be like, oh, this guy's team and his record suck. But when you got guys making boneheaded plays like that, and you go back at the end of the year and you go, oh, you guys finished, you know, 8-9. Or you missed the playoffs by one game. And you go back and look at losses like this. It's crazy. I mean, the interception, the ground basically knocking the ball out. Okay, I mean, shit happens. That happened. But just dropping the ball at the goal line. Oh, man. I mean, Arizona was definitely, like Jason said, top 5 most disappointing losses probably in NFL history. It's got to rank up there with so much weird stuff going on. It gets not only that, it gets probably the worst team in the NFL here in the last 5-10 years. I mean, Tennessee is god awful.
Yeah, pretty bad. I like Arizona's coach. He was left speechless. Pete Carroll was left speechless. Like, a lot of losses have left a lot of teams speechless after this week. You can kind of feel like the cookie crumbling now for some teams. They're just like ready to mill it in.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I think Aaron's right about the point of DeMarcado getting cut if it wasn't for the injuries in the running back room. I mean, he was then the third back yeah. on the roster, and they brought up Michael Carter, you know, from the practice guy or whatever, Michael Carter was the starter. He got the 18 carries. DeMarcado just had the biggest run of the game, which should have been really his highlight that turns into, you know, complete disaster for both himself and the team. Because Aaron's right. These are the turning points of the season. I don't want to bring the Bears into this, but think a year ago, we're talking about the Hail Mary versus Jaden Daniels and on that Sunday game.
That was good stuff.
I mean, just like that, it was the Bears were dead in the water after that. I mean, we're going to talk about it a million times next week when the Bears play the Commanders on Monday night, but that was a moment that team never recovered from. Like, this is a terrible loss to a bad Titans team where tons of things went wrong. And while DeMarcado's play is probably seen as, you know, it is the biggest, like, mistake of the game you can talk through, you know, there was tons of other things that...
There's other stuff,
Cardinals are just giving this game away to a Titans team that is not good. And, you know, how are you going to respond to that?
It's tough because it's now like three games back to back to back losing by field goals.
Yeah, they've lost three straight games by field goal, which has never been done, I think, in NFL. Not only that, Rome, I mean, this is their schedule coming up: at Colts, Green Bay, at Dallas, at Seattle, 49ers, Jaguars, Buccaneers, Rams, Texans. I mean, this is a team that's probably going to be 3-8.
But they're going to be in all of them, though.
Yeah, but, you know, that's all great when you're in college, but when you're in the pros, man, I mean, 3-8 being in games and losing, it's a tough defeat. You know, you talk about, you know, Kyler Murray. I mean, he had a snap go right off his helmet, didn't even dive for the ball, just kind of sat there and watched it. That turned into a turnover. Arizona's, like I said, they're one of those teams we talk about it every year. Right now it seems underdrawn. Like, they're there, but they just don't make that next player, that next step. I don't know what they can do, really. You know, I'm not a big fan of their offensive coordinator. I mean, their defensive coordinator looks like fucking 32 years old. Looks like they just got him out of like a GA room at like Georgia or somebody. Like, hey, you've been working at Georgia for a while. Just come and coach some defense. A lot of issues in the desert, man. A lot of issues. They got a lot of problems. I mean, they're the worst team in that division by far still. It's tough, man. It's tough to be a Cardinals fan.
Besides them, so we'll give them like the biggest loss of the week. Is there like any contenders maybe, or should we just like close the book on that one?
For biggest loss?
Yeah. That might be it. I think everything else is pretty good losses.
Yeah, I mean, you could make an argument about the Ravens because of where their expectations are, but with how hurt they are, you know, I think everyone besides me would have picked the Texans in that game.
Cooper Rush looked terrible.
He did, which was surprising considering how well he played with Dallas and some of his starts. Like, it wasn't there. I think maybe, I don't know if it's worse loss. Aaron called this out when we previewed Buck Seahawks. The Seahawks home field advantage that was so vaunted for the longest time. Like, man, I really thought Seattle, like, even though I picked the Bucks in that game, I just, Seattle just feels like it. I mean, that was a tough place to play when the Legion of Boom era, like, just the sound and everything about that and everything that went there was hard to play. Now, like, they're 1-2 at home this year. I can't remember, Aaron, how bad they were at home last year. But, you know, this is a pretty good football team.
I think they were 3-5 last year.
Okay.
At home.
That one, I will say that one, it surprised me a little bit. Like, I knew it would be a close game, but I, you know, Seattle, the Buccaneers in the fourth quarter sometimes of this team are just, you know.
To Jason's point, I mean, Seattle rallied back. I believe that game was 13-14. Came back, game was tied. They went for it on 4th-and-2, got a touchdown, up 7 at home with 2:20 to play. Baker goes down the field in like 5 plays and gets a touchdown. And then with Sam Darnold gets that tough interception where it bounces off a dude's helmet, gets picked off. Buccaneers get the game-winning field goal. I mean, Tampa Bay is one of these teams that they just win every game late. They find ways to win. But Seattle, I mean, yeah, I really like Seattle. I liked them in that spot. I know they had some like three guys out in the secondary, but that was the first time, I think, in NFL history that two quarterbacks threw for over 325 yards and had 80-plus percent completion percentage. First time in NFL history both quarterbacks achieved that in a game from opposing teams.
It's pretty crazy, man. Sam Darnold, he's been having a pretty good year, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception.
The ex-Carolina Panther guys. So, I mean, that game was hyped up a lot. It lived up to it. It was a great game.
It was a really good game. All right. We've been doing like ass kicking of the week or like ass whooping of the week.
But Roma, I mean, before we, you know, you mentioned it earlier, before we, the biggest loss of the week, you kind of hinted it at about 10 minutes ago. It was Penn State. Yeah. Let's just be honest. It was Penn State. That's the biggest loss of the week. I don't care what happened to the Cardinals. I mean, the NFL is the NFL, but Penn State, a 25-point favorite, going against the 0-4 Bruins. If you're talking about the biggest loss of the week, that gets my vote. I don't care what anybody else says.
People were joking how, like, you know, no one like really rushed the field. It was like a calm rush. You know, everyone's just happy.
I don't think anybody knew how to rush the field at the Pasadena Rose Bowl.
I didn't know there was anyone there to be able to rush the field.
No, they had a good crowd. They had a good crowd.
And it was Penn State.
All those pitchers are like, all those pitchers are always from like, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes before the game.
Yeah, you always say that. No, I'll say maybe I put the curse on James Franklin because I think there was calls for his job, you know, I was talking on the last pod about, you know, Penn State just wants to be happier than happy at a certain point, and they've had, you know, good success. They're the third best team in the Big Ten. They're probably going to make the college football playoff. They just can't beat Ohio State and Michigan. Then come out here and lay an absolute egg to a team that, I know, I got a group text of friends talking about should UCLA be relegated from the Big Ten at a certain point. And the flag went up. Hey, relegation's off. You know, they can stay in the Big Ten for a little longer.
Dude, like Neuheisel, you know, taking over play calling. It's been 2 weeks since they fired their head coach. I thought UCLA did a great job. Great play calling, great play all around. Their quarterback, which they took from Tennessee, they did like a switcheroo there. He had a great game. It was actually pretty fun to watch. I caught it from the second half on because I was just like kind of going back and forth. I was like, wait a minute, like they're actually up? Like, no way. You know, well, I was waiting for the disappointment to set in. And then once I realized, like, dude, they're actually playing good. All right, let's watch a little more of this.
Jason sent the text Friday, I believe, that UCLA had not led for 1 second all year, which is amazing in itself. And then I was gonna text before the game, like, who's willing to bet like a beer that UCLA will have the lead on this game or buy a round? And then all of a sudden they're up 10-0. But Rome, I think we underestimate. It's actually the perfect spot for an upset, right? You're playing against a team that's been underachieving. We're traveling from the Midwest out west. You're coming off the most devastating loss of your season in a wideout at home.
Yeah.
And now you're going against a UCLA team of coaches that you don't even know what the game plan is going to be. They come out with a totally different game plan, run the quarterback 16 times for like 160 yards. He rushes for like 3 touchdowns. And before Penn State knew it, they were in a dogfight. And then once they turned it up, they just didn't have enough time. I mean, if there's another quarter left in that game, they probably end up winning by 2 touchdowns. They didn't have enough time, and UCLA pulls the upset. The question is now, who's really going to replace James Franklin? I've got the perfect candidate, but I don't think he's going to go there.
Okay. Do you want to say now, or you want to save it for the College Football Podcast on Wednesday?
I'll save it for Wednesday.
Okay. All right.
I liked online the Penn State was like, hey, we can't beat a top 10 team and we fly all the way to the West Coast and then lose to Joffrey Baratheon. Got to watch Game of Thrones if you're looking at it.
That's the Game of Thrones thing.
Game of Thrones reference for young Neuheisel on the sidelines.
I like it. Dude, oh my God. Oh my God. I was like, who is this guy? Yeah, he does look like him. Holy shit.
All right, the joke set in. It just needed to stare a little more, yeah.
Oh man, I'm like, okay, yeah. Oh, that's so good. All right. Before we do a biggest win of the week for the NFL, who gets the ass whipping on the week?
I mean, there's some strong
contenders here.
Some strong contenders. I mean, you could be looking at the Raiders. You could be looking at the Ravens. Maybe even the Chargers. What they were, you know, doing there. I'm gonna give it to the Raiders though. I'm going to give it to the Raiders. I expected a little bit more after that, you know, pretty impressive showing against the Bears, have maybe found the running game a little bit. You know, Geno just continued to be off. Defense wasn't there, you know, Crosby was still a problem, but I think Crosby's just playing by himself out there for the most part.
He had a good game. Yeah. As good as a game you can have with no help. No, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, you could put the Raiders on there. I mean, this team made the score closer, but I said it was the worst hire in the offseason. Aaron Glenn, I love seeing him get his ass whipped every week. So keep that up. Jets, what a sorry bunch of team they are.
I watched part of this game, and I just...
They're unwatchable, man.
I just don't get it. Unwatchable. I just don't get it. And like when you look at the stats and like it's kind of respectable when you look at the end of the day, but it's just something's not right. I'm not sure if it's Glenn. I like Glenn. But they were playing like a high powered offense with Dallas. Prescott had another great game. It just wasn't good at all. Just wasn't good.
I mean, yeah, I mean Dallas's offensively is not bad, but they were down 30-3 in that game going to what the fourth.
They were,
quarter.
Right?
I mean, we've all watched Dallas this year defensively. I don't believe outside of the opening game against the Eagles, they held anybody under, what, almost 40, 30? I mean, Chicago could have scored a lot more on them. They just didn't.
You know what's a crazy stat that I heard over the weekend? That Justin Fields is 0 for 26 or 0 for 27 when the other team scores 21 points. And I now saying it, I'm pretty sure Jason said this like a year ago.
Probably. I mean, it sucks because I like Justin Fields as the professional he was and and the way he handled the situation. But there comes to the point where, hey, it was the Bears didn't give him all the tools in Chicago, which they didn't, but never can make that work. Goes to Pittsburgh, loses the job. They didn't really give him a chance. Now you get the full on starting job with the Jets. Had a great week one, but after that, it has not been nothing. And this is where, you know, hey, you're going to lose the opportunity to be the starter. And eventually Justin turns into, you know, the best backup in the league, you know, like Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people on Justin Fields. And it's kind of like, you know, Jason mentioned he didn't have the right. He hasn't ever had an offensive really guru coach. I mean, he's always had defensive guys. And if you go back to his success at Ohio State, who do you have? An offensive guru in Ryan Day. So if you give him someone like a Steichen and McVay, a Liam Cohen, an elite offensive head coach, can he put up productive numbers and be that guy? I don't know. I mean, that's kind of the next step he needs. I mean, the Jets, outside of Garrett Wilson in a run game, their offensive line is average at best. They don't have a tight end to throw to. And defensively, they've given up over 30 points a game. So that puts tons of pressure on a quarterback when you know you're going to be in a shootout and you have to almost be perfect. It's a lot of pressure for a guy that has struggled in this league. I don't know what he can be, but from a lot of people that I've talked to, they just want to see him get in the offensive system that kind of makes things more simple and lets him kind of be who he is. And I don't know if he's going to find that anytime soon.
Yeah, the worst thing for him was going to a defensive coach, which I like Glenn, but yeah, going to the Jets system, I don't know too much about their OC. When you look at their schedule, though, coming up, they do have a chance to win some games. After the Broncos, which I expect the Broncos to come in, I'm going to put Bo Nix in my starting lineup because I can't trust
that game's
Herbert.
In London, Rome. It is an international game, but the Broncos,
I just saw it 6:30.
They are going to beat the shit out of the Jets, though.
I usually like to do the opposite for international games, but yeah, I just don't see it happening. But they got the Panthers, then the Bengals, then the Browns. Just throwing it out there, they could get three wins there, but not much after that. And then they got the Dolphins a few weeks after that. But
they got the Saints on the schedule. I think
maybe four wins if they're lucky for the rest of the year, and that's on the high end. What do you guys think? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's the high end, but you never know what happens. Again, they had an impressive week one. The defense being,
I think it was 5.5.
Yeah, the defense being the disappointment, like you're talking about, like for Aaron Glenn, that's not what he was brought here to have a good defense. To your point on Fields, though, we'll make a lot of judgments on quarterbacks coming into this league, but it matters a ton who, what team you get drafted, the talent around, the coaching you have,
100%.
What the system fit is. you know, Sam Darnold is probably, you know, a great example. That entire game, Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield on finding the right coach. So when you look, at a majority of these quarterbacks, they're probably all between like the fifth and the 20th best quarterback in the league, and they're probably all the same guy. And it matters the situation around us and who they have. Like, you can make the argument.
Bookmark that.
Well, I mean, when you see these quarterbacks go to different systems, I mean, there's just something, you know, that teams have or don't have, and you're going to get the exceptions of maybe a Mahomes or a Josh Allen, you know, maybe Lamar Jackson, but you start going down, you know, down the slotting past the top five, and you're getting to the lower top 10. Like, these guys can be all replaceable. And that's why someone like, you know, Kyle Shanahan, I'll just go find a guy. Mac Jones, hey, you're good. You know, we'll make it work for you. Brock Purdy,
they liked
seventh
Mac
round.
Jones coming out of that.
They did. I mean, Shanahan liked Mac Jones, I think, coming out of college and wanted him. So
yeah.
I think there is something to some of these guys like Shanahan where it's like Mac Jones,
hell of a game, man. He looked like he was getting beat up like Rocky in like Rocky 2. Kept on getting up after each knockdown, his legs barely dangling around, standing in the pocket, delivering punch after punch.
Yeah,
it's like, well, he has so much street cred now here in San Francisco and all over on the socials.
Well, I think Jason made a great point. Outside of a handful, maybe whatever, the top 6-8 quarterbacks, everyone else is replaceable. And yeah. I think we've talked about it, like, you know, if Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield switched teams during halftime, they still would have put up great numbers for that team that they were on.
Yeah.
So it goes back, you know, I've talked to you guys about it. Like, why pay a guy like Purdy $45 million, or maybe you bring Mac Jones in for a year, he plays good, and then you go, hey, we're going to give you a four-year, $120 million, $30 million per year average like Baker's got, Darnold's got, and we save all this money under the cap, and we're still competitive and good. Because now, look at Dallas. I mean, Dak's good, but is he worth $60 million? No, he's not. He's not like a Joe Burrow that could take the team to another level, or Lamar or Patrick Mahomes. So why not just move off him and bring another quarterback in for $20, $25, $30 million and give it a shot? I mean, that's, you could save money there in the cap. So unless I think you get that guy, which you probably are going to know right off the bat. I mean, I think Jaden Daniels, you're kind of seeing Washington. Maybe he's that guy. We're going to find out here in the next 2 years if Caleb's that guy. I mean, Jason will be able to tell you by year 4 or 5, hey, you're going to pay Caleb Williams $65 million, or are you going to move off him? We're going to find out in the next 2 years. So there's no point in being like, all right, Caleb's had 4 years, 3 years in Ben Johnson's system, and he's a 500 quarterback. Let's pay him $65 million. I would move off him, and we'll see. We'll see what teams end up doing, but it's tough.
So ass whooping of the week, we got that locked down. You had the biggest win of the week. I'm kind of in between the Niners. I'm in between the Broncos over the Eagles, Buccaneers over Seahawks. And actually, it was a lot of good games this week.
Five games, right?
Pats, Bills, and Jaguars, Chiefs tonight.
Yeah.
Those were all really good quality wins, good quality losses.
Yeah, I would probably.
I don't know what's bigger, though.
I put it between the Broncos and the Jaguars because you're beating two teams that were in the Super Bowl, and those are like, you know, statement wins on each of their resumes. The Broncos, probably a little more impressive. Them going west to east into Philadelphia. You know, Philly, tough place to play. This team has been, you know, they played close games, but the Eagles are a, you know, very difficult team, you know, to play. The class of the NFC, probably a step above everyone, you know, for the most part when you look at that. So I'd say the Broncos would be my vote, but I think there's an argument to be made for the Jags tonight versus the Chiefs. The Chiefs have gotten it back in there together. And yeah, I would say maybe a distant third for me if I'm going podium style here. Rome's got the McLaren hat. We're going Formula One. I'd put third on the podium to the Patriots. I think that's a big primetime win for Vrabel. I think Drake May, that's the type of performance now that a couple people are going to remember, that big throw going to his right down the field to Diggs. You know, those are the things that, like, hey, Drake May is a guy now. He's one that can do something. I think that's, you know, a little bit of a statement that you've done the right quarterback choice, that Vrabel's the right hire. This team's going to do something in the long term. So that'd be my podium finish for
okay.
I like that podium. I'm going to reverse order on it. I go Jaguars 3, Broncos 2. The biggest one's the Patriots, because by losing, the division's over. Buffalo essentially has a 3-game lead. Now the Patriots put pressure. Patriots realistically should be 4-1, guys. They gave that game away against the Steelers. 5 turnovers, right, 3 yeah, in yeah. the end zone. Pittsburgh's not that good, just for the record. But, yeah, Patriots get the big podium step for me there. Jaguars, impressive win. And, you know, y'all know I love me some Bo Nix, Sean Payton, getting the job done in Philly. Down 17-3, wasn't looking great against the Super Bowl champs. Team that does not lose if Jalen Hurts under center. I think they'd won 15 straight games that he started and finished. That was a big win.
Nice. Any last remarks on week 5 in the NFL?
I would say the last thing would be, I've been seeing that they're catching it late, but what's up with all these footballs hitting like these wires and like drone cameras or whatever?
Sky cams?
Yeah, and the NFL, you know, replay place, people man. Not catching them. I mean, you could cost some people some games here.
They actually did miss, what was it, a field goal?
Yeah, it was a field goal in that Vikings game. Yeah. You could see that ball.
And they didn't even recognize it. And it's like, dude, come on, man. You can see the fucking wires. Like, yeah. I know they're intended to not be visible, but when you're that close, they're visible.
I'm surprised. I mean, I saw the video, but I'm surprised no one, like, for the, you know, was it the Vikings kicker that did that? I can't remember which kicker did it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised they didn't make a big deal about it, because, I mean, I believe they could see it at that point, but because it took a weird angle after it hit it. But it's a great call. I'll be honest, when I was at the Bears Cowboys game, all of a sudden there's a freaking drone all of a sudden going over your second, you know, in the second level. I'm like, where the hell did this thing come from? So.
All right, before we go, since I don't want to like release this on Thursday night when a team's losing and they're like in the top 8 here, I was putting this together. I was watching the Dodgers, stressing me out, dude. That fucking bullpen. Every game, I feel like we got the victory. You know, I'm taking care of business. I'm away from the TV. I don't know what's happening. I disconnect. Come back out. I'm like, what? The game's still going on? Like, it should have been over by now.
You know, the Dodgers, I mean, they've been fortunate to have some
good wins,
room to let that bullpen come in, but
oh my God.
I mean, it was 4-0. I'd given up, and then I look, it's 4-3 final. It's like, Jesus, man.
Dude,
I mean, these
bases
guys,
loaded.
Yeah.
It was like, come on, man. It was stressful. It's best out of 5, right, in the second round?
Yeah, so they only need one more
Thank
win.
God.
That will be Wednesday, Thursday in LA.
Philly's a good team, dude. Like, they had to win it. Otherwise, if they would have taken it today, then it would have been really tough. All right, before we go, updated power rankings for the top 8. Lots of turnover here. You guys let me know if you think I should make some adjustments here before we release it to the public. But number 8.
Wait a minute, this isn't the public?
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll come on the pod, but, you know, official.
If we don't
like
it,
the,
this part gets edited out.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, right, cool, I think it's cool. What he means.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Gotcha.
All right. So, last week, the Steelers were number 8, but I just couldn't keep, like, usually, you know, if you're on idle, there's not enough reason to kick you out. I kicked out the 7 and 8 teams this week, which
well,
were
I hope
the
you
Packers
keep the Ravens
and the Steelers.
Because they should have been out a long time ago if they hadn't already, Rome.
They were out last week, yeah.
Okay.
So 7 and 8, Packers and Steelers don't make it to this week because now in the power rankings, I put the Broncos at number 8. Very good team. I actually like the way they're playing, and I'm not all over like the way Aaron is, but they look like a really good fucking team, and I don't think they'll win the AFC West, but they could, and they could do it in dominating fashion. So they got my attention now, Aaron. I am going to be watching every Broncos game because I want to see how good they can get because they look really good against
you. Gotta wake up early next week, Rome.
I just want to say, Rome, I think it's a good forward looking to put them in your Power 8 here because the next 5 games for the Denver Broncos, the New York Jets, the New York Giants, the Dallas Cowboys, the Houston Texans, and the Las Vegas Raiders.
Jesus Christ.
I see at least I'm going to say right now, I'm going to say 4 wins right now at least there. Unless something happens on the roster. So,
at least 4 wins. Yeah, cuz you know it's the NFL, you're going to drop one of
those. The Texans, I don't know where that one's at, but you know, Texans can be a little
tricky. That's such a good stretch for them. Wow, they're going to be 8-3 or 8.
That's the thing, when you finish 3rd in your division the year previously, you get a little softer schedule.
That's nice. All right. So Broncos are number 8. Dropping considerably, whereas the team that lost Thursday night is the Rams. I put them at number 7. You know, I thought it was a good loss, but I can't drop them from like number 4 out of the top 8. Number six, this was kind of tough. I know you guys might disagree. I thought it was a really gritty win, and I do like the quality of wins, although like they're at the end of the game by like field goals. There's another team in the top five that has won every game by a field goal, but I put the Niners there. It was just gutsy with Mac Jones down to like their third, fourth, you know, level of receivers, running backs, guys on defense. They're just really impressive to me. So I got them at number six. I think it's a really impressive team there, what they got. When they get people back, as they get people back, that's going to be a fun team to watch. But for now, I got them at number six. Only because they beat the Rams, so they go above the Rams. That was kind of difficult between six and eight. Number five, Colts. They weren't even the top eight. They jump into number five. Just really big win. They just been taking care of business. I feel like they deserve it, especially with their record, to be number five. Four, a big win against Seahawks on the road. Buccaneers move up a couple spots to number four. They were number six last week. Top of the order, Bills drop one from losing the game to the Pats. Can't really drop them any further than that because the Eagles drop down from number one to number two. Tough loss against the number eighth ranked team Broncos, and the Lions move up to the number one ranked team in the power rankings as they've been in dominating fashion after week one. So that's the new power rate.
I got a big problem with the power rate.
Hold on. I wanted to repeat it, everything first before we rip into this. Go ahead. Go. Let's go eight.
Eight is Broncos.
Okay.
Seven Rams.
Okay.
Six 49ers.
Okay.
Which I told you, all those three are kind of confusing to me.
Confusing
pretty sold
to me
on
too,
top
Ron.
Five, though. Five is Colts. Four is Buccaneers. Three is Bills. Two is Eagles. One's Lions.
You know, I'll start here. I love Rome's power eight. 49ers at six, if I'm not mistakenly right, Rome? At
yeah.
Four and one record. Who beat him last week?
Jags.
And what are the Jags' record?
Well, now they're 4-1.
So get the 49ers out of there. And get the Jaguars in the top eight. And get the Niners out of there. So I'd get the Rams out, put the 49ers in, and get Jacksonville in there. That, you know, that's how you got to do it, man. Come on. Right. You got to update.
I'm not disagreeing with Aaron. I also think if you look at now, the 49ers have one of like the easiest schedule in the NFL, I think they had this year going into. So they're going to get some wins. But you guys know me, Rome. I bring some stats around these things. The two potential fraud alerts, I'm not calling them frauds, I'm just saying alerts. You look at your whole top eight, your point differential for the 49ers, plus eight. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 4-1. They're plus three. So you are living and dying by field goal games. You could either be the Minnesota Vikings of last year, or you can be, I don't know, what's the team that's been losing by one possession games, like the Cardinals?
Arizona.
Arizona. You could be Arizona. So I think there's some stuff. Now, the good teams winning the close games, I get that. But, you know, these elite teams that are up there are putting it on them. So, I don't know, just something to think about. But I agree with Aaron. Not having the Jags in this list.
I just wasn't really sold on them yet. Okay. But today kind of changed it. But I'll think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I would move... Yeah, definitely. I'd get the Rams out of their Rome, get the Jags in there. 49ers, that's fine. They're up there. And, you know, they're 4-1. That was what they were down a ton of bodies for that game, too. We're not expected to beat the Rams. I mean, that game, what was that? Nine closed at almost 9-point underdog. So that was a huge, huge win. But yeah, I'd say everything else looks pretty good there.
All right. That'll do it for week five. We'll do Lions on Thursday for week six. Against the spread contest, we'll update it. I finished with 9-4 last week. Jason with 8-5. We were tied coming into tonight's game, the Monday night game. So that was really exciting. And then Aaron finishes with 7-6. We all finished above 500. Pretty good stuff. I don't know what the total is now, but I think now I'm just barely a game above 500. And I think everything else... It's been tough. Sniper West has commented on the socials, and he was talking about like how he did pretty well on the sides. For like after talking to us, he changed a lot of his bets and sold them. You know, sold his picks, and he did really well. So we're gonna try to get him back. If not this week, next week he wants to defend.
I would say, hey, you know, if he's using the information we're given, a little kickback of generosity for the, you know, like a little tip jar would be nice, you know.
Yeah.
Just saying, you could, you know.
Well, he made a killing by being on our show, so.
I mean, it's the most viewed full episode we have on YouTube from what I can see. That's not a short clip. Yeah, I believe. I don't know.
I updated the landing page for the F1 because I'm still working on, like, you know, getting the designs, and that one's climbing up.
I did have GT comment on that episode, and I don't hear that every day.
Nice. On the Formula One episode or the Sniper West episode?
Sniper West.
Okay.
Oh, what'd he say?
He just I'd have to go back and look. I think he hit me up. He's like, "Hey, where'd you find this Sniper West guy?"
Okay. So, nice.
Something like that. Nice. Tell him we ran into him at Vegas circa pool.
Yeah, when Rome was knocking it out for open bar, and so was he.
Yeah.
The dangerous combo, dude.
Yeah.
Except he has like 150 pounds on me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That'll do it. Source from the Sofa. We are out.